And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. Thank you for your company. If you're a regular listener, great to have you back with us this morning. It's currently 7 degrees here in the studio, heading for a maximum of 11 degrees. And for the, well, the next 3 days, maximums of 11, 13 and 11 after overnights of 4, 7 and 7. Cloudy for the next couple of days and then looking like rain and showers on Sunday and Monday. A bit of a mixed bag. I guess that's what we expect around the middle of July. It is the 14th of July. Wow. Middle of July. And I know we're all looking forward to some, well, perhaps some spring weather not so far away or something like that. I hope you've been enjoying our community conversations programs. We do have a couple of slots coming up for guests that we haven't filled. So if you're interested in coming on radio with me, or you've got a story to tell, or your community group needs an opportunity to come on air, we'd love to hear from you. That'd be fantastic. Today, I have via Zoom, my very special guest is Maggie Somerville. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yes, fantastic. And you're coming in really well there on the sound, so that's terrific. Maggie was on the program here. Some of you who are regular listeners may remember a couple of years ago. In fact, it was just before COVID. Wow, way back then, Maggie. And we were talking back then about Mary Gilmore and an album that you had produced. But today, listeners, we're going to be doing something slightly different because we're going to be looking at the work of John Shaw Nielsen. Now, if you haven't heard of John Shaw Nielsen, don't feel bad because I hadn't either. And he's sadly, even though he's a contemporary of the amazing Banjo Paterson and Henry Lawson and Dame Mary Gilmore, he's far less known, isn't he, Maggie? He's not well known in Australia, but he was an Australian. And, well, we're celebrating this year 150 years since his birth back in 1872. He died in 1942, grew up in a little town, some of you may know, Panola, South Australia, before moving to closer to Nil and then eventually to Melbourne. But let's just start, Maggie, before, well, in fact, I should introduce you a little bit in a moment too, but let's start with John Shaw Nielsen and then we'll go to Maggie Somerville. Tell our listeners a little bit about John Shaw Nielsen, Maggie, because most of us really don't know this man.
No, that's true. I didn't know until by chance I stumbled upon his poetry and then started setting some of them to music. Well, as you said, he was born in South Australia, but he lived most of his life in Victoria. Basically, as a labourer, he couldn't make any money out of his poetry. His father also was a poet, and at one stage they both won prizes in the same year. His father for senior, section, and John Shaw Nielsen as a junior. I think it was about 19 when he won his first poetry award. And he had to work really hard. So when Dame Mary Gilmore met him, she said she felt a stone in her heart at the sight of his wrecked, battered hands.
Yes, he was working in quarries and picking fruit and roads board, and he was a pretty poor family, wasn't it?
Very poor. They were always struggling, always on the move, and he also had bad eyesight. So in the end, he had to recite his poems to somebody else, usually a family member, who would write them down. And I've just looked this up to see where it is. Chinkapook, I love the name Chinkapook. a whole lot of his poems went missing in Chinkapook because they were eaten by mice.
Wow.
So we never got to read or know those poems that were eaten by mice because, of course, there are no photocopies, no internet, no way to store them. And his handwritten poems were lost in, must have been a mouse plague or, you know, wherever he was staying at Chinkapook.
Wow.
In Victoria. It's up near Swan Hill. I just looked it up now to see where it is.
A very poor family, I was seeing there is a monument that's been erected to him near Nil that was set up in 1972.
And his family home, the cottage that he grew up in, has been moved to Nil, I believe, too.
Yes.
I haven't seen it. I must go there. I must see it. Yeah. Yeah, so he's sort of become more famous. And there's a really good book, a big book, Collected Verse of John Shaw Nilsson, edited by Margaret Roberts, that's really worth reading. It's really big and thick, but it's got the best, all his poetry in it.
Yeah. Wow.
And that only came out 2012. Off 10 years ago. Yeah, so if anybody's interested, they just it's University of Western Australia Press, that book of his poems.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you a little bit, Maggie, because you've brought John Shaw Nilsson to life through music. And for those of you who don't know, Maggie is an amazing musician and has put together another album, a new album, that was launched on the 21st of May. Remember that day? That was the election day back in May. It's entitled The Walking of the Moon Woman. And that will become evident, the title, as we listen to a couple of the tracks in a moment. But we are going to share with you a half a dozen tracks in the next 45 minutes or so, Maggie, which will be great. You've really brought the poetry of John Shaw Nilsson to life through music, haven't you? Was that the aim?
Yeah, absolutely. I think music, sadly, is going to last longer than a book, on a shelf. But, yeah, I very carefully picked out ones that I thought I could put to music. And I'm not the only person who's done that. Daryl Summers, a musician, put a more classical interpretation of poetry and did an actual show that toured around Victoria about 15, maybe 20 years ago. And Richard Keem, he's also done an album, a vinyl album. Rick sadly died a year or so ago, but he is also in the folk style, sort of like mine, but we've only overlapped with two songs and we've both got completely different interpretations of them. So I'm not the only person who has put John Shaw Nilsson's poetry to music.
Yes, fantastic. But yeah. Look, let's have a listen. Whet your appetite, listeners, and I'll see if I can bring this in on the CD here. Let's see how we go.
So lightly.
that was Love's Coming, the first track of The Walking of the Moon Woman, and compiled, is that what we say, Maggie? Is that how we say it?
I don't know what you're meaning.
In terms of putting the music...
The music's composed by...
Yes, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. With a whole team of you, I won't read out everyone, but you've got an amazing array of very talented musicians involved and vocalists involved in putting this together.
Yeah, yes. I had to round up quite a lot of people. Cello, flute, violin, mandolin, ukulele... harmonica, the bass, the lot.
Yes.
even in the one about angels, there's a harp. You can't sing a song about angels without a harp.
And you've even got some Julian pipes, I think, there in one of those.
The Irish pipes, that's right, Irish pipes, which you'll hear a little bit of in one track, I think, maybe. Yes.
Fantastic. Let's, if you've just joined us, listeners, we're talking John Shaw Nielsen and the work. Well, he really focused on the natural world, didn't he, Mary?
Because he worked outside so much, he was very close to the natural world, and that's why a lot of his poems, the ones you've just heard, it starts off about rosebuds.
Yes.
But
I mean, some of the titles of the tracks you've selected, the cow in Switzerland, the blue wren in the hop bush, for example, they're very much the natural world. And of course, his most famous poem is the orange tree, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's caused a lot of... excitement, or you know, literary people and trying to analyse it. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But Love's Coming, I actually, that was the first one I set to music, because after I accidentally bumped into the president of the John Shaw Nielsen Society, Graham Dunkley, and he said, "Why don't you put some of John Shaw Nielsen's poetry to music?" When he knew I was setting some of C.J. Dennis's to at a C.J. Dennis function. And I went to work, I'm a teacher, and I realised that for the last few years I'd been teaching my Year 11 literature students one of his poems anyway, which was Love's Coming. So I thought, oh, I'll have to put that to music. that's why I did, and I made it the first track, because I think that the mandolin player is absolutely exquisite. The mandolin's so beautiful in that piece. I wanted it to be heard.
I think you've had a lot of fun putting these together, Maggie. That's my sense. You and the team?
Yep. Absolutely. And a lot of money it cost.
Yes.
I had to pay them all too. So it's good to sell a few down the way now.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll talk, listeners, we'll give you the contact details for so you can actually, well, make contact with Maggie. Her website is Maggie Somerville. That's just one M in the middle there, maggiesomerville.com.au. Or you can send Maggie an email if you like, Maggie S. 88 at bigpond.com. I hope I got that right, Maggie.
Yep, that's right. That's
yeah, fantastic. So tell us then, along the way, you had a very, well, you had a very determined team to actually bring this poetry to life, didn't you, through music, and you've just said that you feel music's going to last longer than perhaps the written word.
In some cases, yes.
Yes.
Well, it was a very long, long, long process, because Melbourne being the most locked down city in the world, and travel limits. So unfortunately, or fortunately or unfortunately, the sound engineer where I use his studio is up at Kalorama, and I live in East Brunswick. So even when Daniel Andrews dropped it from 25 km down to 10, went from 5 km up,
yes,
to 10 km up to 25 km.
It still wasn't enough.
You could travel. I'm 44 km from Kalorama, so I was so frustrated. And my friends are saying, just get another sound engineer. I said, no, I don't want to. This guy, Dave, is terrific. And we'd already half started it, you know. We already had the guide tracks. And also a lot of the musicians live around there.
Yes.
He'd round it up. So, you know, I had to wait so long. The only good thing about that is that eventually when it's come out this year, 2022, instead of 2020, which it should have, it means that it's exactly 150 years.
Yes, very, very time.
Shaw Nielsen's birth, and exactly 80 years since his death.
Yes, very, very timely, yeah. I thought.
Yes.
So listeners, we're going to play the title song, which is The Walking of the Moon Woman. And, Maggie, tell us... That's an unusual title for both a poem and an album. Tell us, how did you decide on that as the title before we play it?
Well, I think it's very evocative. I think it's a beautiful poem. Apparently, John Shaw Neilson, I've read somewhere, was walking through a barley field in the early evening just as the moon was rising. And with his vivid imagination, he conjured up a moon woman, right, you know, walking up above, up in the sky. And, I just found it a really beautiful poem. And I thought, well, I could thought that was a great title, The Walking of the Moon Woman. It's sort of, and I have a friend who's an artist who now lives in Geelong, and she...
amazing. We're holding up the... front cover is just absolutely magical. Let's have a listen right now. Talking, well, the amazing work of John Shaw Neilson this morning with my very special guest via Zoom, the amazing Maggie Somerville. Maggie, that's just such an inspiring song, The Walking of the Moon Woman. I noticed that was actually, well, the last of his works almost, 1940. He passed away in 1942.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he wrote for a long time, you know, almost till he died. But it's interesting because he hardly had any education.
Yes.
So, yeah, the family was so poor. He left school at 14, but he hadn't had a proper education up till then. You know, he just went for 18 months when he was around about 8 or 9 years old, and he found a Bible to read and Robert Burns' poetry. His Scottish heritage on both sides, but, you know, born in Australia.
Yes, those of us, well, there's the good Scottish heritage here, isn't there, today? But anyway, hey, Maggie, for those people who might have just joined us, we are talking John Shaw Neilson, who, well, 150 years ago was born in 1872 in South Australia, spent most of his time in Victoria, as you've already said, but it was a poor, struggling family, and you note here on the notes you kindly share with me that he was self-educated, his working life was hard, often dangerous manual labour, and in spite of his high literary reputation, he was sadly unable to generate any significant income from his poetry, from his work.
That's right.
Which is...
Well, it seems to happen a lot. I mean, think of Van Gogh. He didn't make any money until after he died. Now they're worth millions. Paintings. It's sad with a lot of artists and musicians.
It's
the case.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us, if you don't mind, tell us what was the biggest challenge for you and the amazing team you brought together in actually bringing this to life? You know, what was the biggest challenge in getting this album together, Maggie? Well, I think perhaps you've already mentioned it with the COVID lockdowns, but apart from that, what were the challenges? Was it selecting which particular music instruments you would use for which songs, or tell us about that?
Well, I sat down with Dave Billings, the sound engineer, who lives up at Kalorama, and we went through very methodically and worked out, you know, he had a lot of input too, and he's done most of the beautiful musical arrangements, which instruments would suit which songs. So first of all, I put down a guide track, which would just be my voice and me playing very bad guitar. And then we'd get the guitarist, Sam LeMann, one of Melbourne's top guitarists, who also plays mandolin, ukulele, and record him. Then next we would record the violin player, and that's like the bass. Then we'd sit down and work out which other instruments, and Dave would say, I think cello would suit, you know, that particular one, or mandolin, flute. It turns out for the first time, this is the first album I've had a flautist.
Okay.
So you'll hear it if you play the Orange Tree, you'll hear the beautiful flute in that. So it was kind of, we both had input into, and I'd say, oh, look, I can imagine this next one will be good with ukulele. So he either played it himself, because he's also a musician. He used to be in the band called Paradiddle back in the 80s. And quite a few of the other musicians, Rob Fairbairn, et cetera, they were also in that band back in the 80s. So he's got a good musical background himself.
Fantastic. You describe John Shaw Neilson's work as beautiful, as lyrical and mysterious. Tell us about that.
Well, I think some of his poems, it's hard to really work out what he's trying to say. I think it's a bit like Leonard Cohen, you know?
Yes.
I think he leaves it to the listener to make their own meaning out of the written word, but it's very different from Henry Lawson and Banjo Paterson, where it's very clear. Their messages are extremely clear.
Yes.
In all their poetry, even though they're not exactly the same as each other's either. But Mary Gilmore's, some of hers are a little bit mysterious, but mostly I think you can work out what they're about. But I think some of John Shaw Neilson's, it's not 100% clear. Mm. However, the ones that are pretty clear are the ones that are more lighthearted, like The Caterpillar, that's like a children's song, and The Case of Adam, and My Cow in Switzerland, just a flight of fantasy. He's having a miserable life, so he fantasizes that he owns a wonderful cow in Switzerland.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm just saying that they are, a lot of them are very mysterious.
Yes. Why don't we have a listen to the Case of Adam? Give us an introduction.
I need to explain something, otherwise it won't mean much.
Yes.
Apparently there was a clergyman, a minister in Scotland, who came up with what's called a new theology. And it was actually fun when we launched it on election day. I picked the date before Scott Morrison. The minister who officiates at that church, Brunswick Uniting Church, he actually helped perform So he's a real clergyman. So the others were just pretending to be. But, yes, he was pushing this theory that there was no fall. You know, the Garden of Eden, they've got it all wrong. And it was just, it was symbolical and there's no actual, you know, real fall. And it was very controversial. So John Shaw Nilsson wrote quite a lot of limericks. And this is sort of in limerick form. It's like three limericks make up the three or four verses.
Yes.
And I thought we had to have some light among the shades.
it starts off, there was a bold preacher named Campbell who said without any preamble, there wasn't a fall, there was no drop at all. I think the historians ramble. Let's have a listen.
That's right.
Let's have a listen.
So I had fun putting it to music.
That was amazing, Maggie. Sorry, I better just put you on air. Sorry, my mistake. So, say again, Maggie.
It's the only song that on the album that has a kazoo.
And kazoo.
Actually hates kazoo, but I insisted. He said, "Oh, do we have to have the kazoo?" I said, "Yep, we got to have the kazoo for the instrumental. It suits it."
Let's go.
We had fun doing that.
Let's go to another fun one, which is the caterpillar. Here we go. A very short one, but really really worth a listen.
I hear a sparrow cheep among the cherries. He finds them good and cheap, also the berries. The gardener pets his pets along the gravel. Just watch my worthy friend, he starts to travel. He gets just what he needs, no fear or flurry. The simple life he leads, nowhere a worry. This life would just suit me, no one could wish us stiller. I think I'd like to be a caterpillar. I think I'd like to be a caterpillar.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. We're doing things a little differently this morning because we're focusing on poetry, the work of John Shaw Nilsson, and the amazing music. Well, really, a whole combination of music that's put together by Maggie Somerville, who's on the Zoom call to me Maggie this morning, which is absolutely fantastic, all the way from Brunswick. But I omitted to congratulate you at the beginning, Maggie, that, well, you're heading off all the way over to Ireland to the, well, you better tell our listeners, why are you heading over there right now?
I'm a teacher and I put in for long service leave 2 years ago to go to the Olympics because my daughter was in them. They were cancelled 2020, so
yes.
I retracted my long service leave. I again put in for long service leave last year to go to the Tokyo Olympics. They weren't cancelled, but no crowds were allowed. So once again, I retracted my long service leave. Third time lucky, I'm off to Birmingham via Ireland for about 10 days, visiting friends that I was a nanny for the family way back in the 70s.
Wow.
And I'm seeing that family, yeah, in the Gaeltacht, where Irish is the first language and English second.
Do you speak Irish,
Well,
Maggie?
I had to learn, back in the 70s, I had to learn how to tell two-year-olds to shut up and ask them if they wanted milk. I can still remember a few words like ich awoy, which is good night, and kajay maratatu, how are you? Fuist, I love the word for shut up, it's fuist. Speaking to more than one person, fuistiga.
Fuist.
Yeah. And then I'm flying from Dublin to Birmingham to support my daughter in the upcoming Commonwealth Games. She's representing Australia in badminton.
Fantastic. You were saying to me off air that she's the number one Australian in two badminton disciplines.
She's number one in champion women's doubles and number one in champion mixed doubles of Australia.
Wow. Wish her every success from us, won't you?
I will, yes. Yes, she's toured the world. She's been all over because of her sport. She only fell in love with it at the age of 12. Now at the age of 27, she's a seasoned traveller and is off to her third Commonwealth Games.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that will be, well, long overdue, 3 years in the making, Maggie, and
that's right.
Hope it goes really well. And you're saying you're back in about the middle of August, so safe travels.
Yes, back to the 16th of August.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. But look, let's come back. And for those of you who would like to make contact with Maggie, you can send her an email, maggies88@bigpond.com, or you can go onto her website and read all about, well, a whole lot of stuff on there, Mary Gilmore and John Shaw Nielsen and all sorts of things. Just go to www.maggiesomerville, that's one M in the middle, maggiesomerville.com.au. That's the best way to make contact, isn't it, Maggie?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, terrific. And so in my hot little hand here, I'm holding Maggie's latest album, if you've just joined us, and it's entitled The Walking of the Moon Woman, because that was one of the poems that John Shaw Nielsen put together, and we've had a listen to that already. We've been listening to some of the tracks this morning. Maggie, how much work goes into producing an album like this?
A lot.
Yes.
A lot of work, because as well as paying all the musicians and rounding them up and then, mixing them all, getting the right levels and bringing instruments in and out up in the studio. Then there's the actual production of the booklet, because
yes.
I always like to have a booklet. And also I pay a bit extra to have a download card. So for people who don't have a CD player, and I can't believe that new cars don't have CD
players. I can't believe that either. That is amazing.
That's when you most want to listen to music, and everyone has CDs,
yes.
from the past. Yeah, so if I'll never buy a car that doesn't have a CD player in it. But for those who don't, you can just, the download card was tucked into the...
Yes, I saw that. That's great.
Into the CD cover, and you just... type it, go into the website at the bottom of that little card and type in the special number and you can download the songs. Yeah. But so then you have to pay, then I have to pay Implant, which is the company just happens to be in Brunswick, to actually produce them, and you can't do any less than 500. So, you know, I've got a lot of boxes
yes.
of these to try and sell. I've already sold some, but nowhere near 500, my God.
Yes, yeah. That sounds so, like a lot of Christmas presents.
It's a lot of work and a lot of money, but I think it's worth it. I get a sense of satisfaction by thinking I'm promoting most of the songs, poems that other people have not put to music.
Yes.
Been a couple.
I think John Shaw Nielsen would be very proud of what you've achieved. In fact, he should be very proud of what he's you know, what he's put together himself.
What he's written, of course.
Yes.
I didn't write any of the words. They're all his brilliant words. All I've done is try to find an appropriate, create an appropriate tune for them to go to.
Yes. Well, let's talk about his very best known piece, which is entitled The Orange Tree. And we're going to play that next. Tell us about The Orange Tree and why is it perhaps the best known one, Maggie?
I don't really know why, but I think it is probably because it is very interesting. And note that on the cover there is an orange tree. I told my friend Hilary Jallett, the artist, that because that's his most famous poem, that she has to throw in an orange tree somewhere so you can see she's done that. It's basically about innocence and experience, I suppose. It makes you think of William Blake a little bit, Songs of Innocence, Songs of Experience, but it's meant to be a dialogue between a man, you know, older man, maybe middle-aged man, with a young girl who I'm not sure exactly how old, but certainly not, don't think more than 17 or could be a child, could be, yeah, and they're having this dialogue about their perceptions of the orange tree. And the man is seeing far more, he's imagining far more things than what the girl is seeing. So they end up sort of in conflict over their perception of the orange tree and its beauty. But it's there's been a lot of literary analysis.
Okay.
But, John Shaw Nielsen's dead, so we can't ask what was he really trying to say? But that's what seems to be the gist of it, that it's age versus youth.
Fantastic.
And how often, in the end, youth wins, I think, you know, over age, in a sense.
Yes.
In terms of purity of perception. But I'm not an expert on that.
Let's have a listen. It was written exactly 100 years ago, 1921, Maggie, which is amazing. So let's have a listen.
He was about 40. And when we put this to music, we weren't very happy with either of our voices. So Stephen Whiteside and I both sang. He did the man, I did the woman. I didn't think they were good enough. Dave didn't. So what we've done is done something a little experimental that a few people think works well. Maybe others don't think works as well. You'll hear what happens.
Okay. And, of course, shout out to Stephen if you're listening. Stephen, we know you through the CJ Dennis Society, of course. So here we go. Let's have a listen to The Orange Tree.
Beside me, I saw not what her young eyes could see. A light, she said, not of the sky, lives somewhere in the orange tree. Is it, I said, of east or west, the heartbeat of a luminous boy who, with his faltering flute confessed, only the edges of his joy. Was he, I said, born to the blue, in a mad escapade of spring, ere he could make a fond adieu to his love in the blossoming? Listen, the young girl said, there calls no voice, no music beats on me, but it is almost sad, it falls this evening on the orange tree. Does he, I said, so fear the spring, ere the white sap too far can climb? See in the full gold evening, all happiness of the olden time. Is he so goaded by the glory? Does the compulsion of the Jew make him unknowable but keen, asking with beauty of the blue? Listen, the young girl said, for all your happiness. fluttering heart he gave too willingly and was reviled? Is it the stammering at a grave, the last word of a little child? Silence, the young girl said.
And that was, well, The Orange Tree by John Shaw Nielsen, put to music by Maggie Somerville and her amazing team. And if you'd like to, well, why don't you get one of these amazing albums? You can just go onto Maggie's website, which is Maggie Somerville, with one M in the middle, Maggie Somerville, all one word, .com.au. Or you can send her an email if you want to know more, maggies88@bigpond.com. And Maggie, you'll still be able to respond to email, even though you'll be jetting over the other side of the world very soon.
I hope so. I think I just have to put in a new SIM card once I get to Ireland.
Yeah. Very good. Maggie, it has been a team effort. You've got, we won't read them all out, but there's a whole list of amazing people that have been involved in this production, in getting this together. You've honoured John Shaw Nielsen by keeping very close to his words and so on, even though we don't always know what they meant or something. But congratulations on an amazing album that you've put together.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to do the best I could to bring his poetry to life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sadly, he's just not as well known as the Banjo Pattersons of this world, but he has a very strong message to share, doesn't he? And particularly the natural world and the interaction between, shall we say, us humans and the natural world.
That's right. And one song we haven't got time to play, I don't think, is Stony Town. He hated Melbourne, but he ended up working there. But because he'd grown up in the country, he saw it, well, as a stony town and felt that it was all squares, you know, squares and lines.
And bluestone blocks or something.
Yeah, and a hard place to work, a hard place to live in, yeah, which I thought was interesting. I actually love Melbourne, so I don't see eye to eye with him, but I've grown up in Melbourne, so that must be the difference.
Oh, there you go. Well, you'll just have to get a copy of the album if you want to hear Stony Town, and I can see it there on the list of tracks, which is terrific. Maggie, for people who don't know anything about John Shaw Nielsen and want to see it come to life, they can either get one of these albums or they can get one of his books of poetry that you were sharing with us before. That's available, is it?
Yes, as far as I know, it still is. They could order it in. It's Collected Verse of John Shaw Nielsen, edited and introduced by Margaret Roberts, University of Western Australia Press. And as far as I know, it's still available, and it's really, really good. Yeah, it's worth getting.
Fantastic. So, listeners, that just about brings us, well, almost to the end. We're going to have a listen to one more track as we go out. These are off the album that was just released on the 21st of May, The Walking of the Moon Woman, if you want to Google it. It's the poetry of John Shaw Nielsen, put to music by Maggie Somerville. And, wow, Maggie, it's just... I'd never heard of the gentleman before, I'm embarrassed to say. So I reckon there's a lot of other listeners that wouldn't have heard of him either before.
Well, like I said, I hadn't heard of him till I bumped into the president in standing in a queue to get a cup of tea at another poetry function, C.J. Dennis function, and he started saying, well, if you're putting C.J. Dennis poetry to music, you should try to put John Shaw Nielsen's. And I'm going, who's he? And then read to work and realised I had, in fact, been teaching my kids because he wrote quite a bit of love poetry.
Okay.
And we did a unit of work on love poetry, and his was one of the ones I'd included, but I hadn't really registered the name, and suddenly I did. And then I started to get really into his poetry and discover a lot more and decided to make an album.
Well done. Congratulations to you, and safe travels as you head off to Ireland and Birmingham in the next, 2 days, in fact. So,
I leave on Saturday. That's right.
Thanks for squeezing us into your schedule today. And listeners, we're going to go out with, a couple of songs from The Walking of the Moon Woman, Under the Kurrajong, and perhaps another one if we can squeeze it in before the news. And thank you for your company this morning. I'll be back same time next week with another Community Conversations program. Look forward to your company then. Let's have a listen to Under the Kurrajong. Thanks so much, Maggie, for making time to be with us today and bringing John Shaw Nielsen to life for us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, and let's have a listen.